Aren't we a blessed people?
Yes,
we are. No, we're so blessed. So blessed, so blessed, so blessed. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and then also Revelation, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 11, Revelation 12. We began last Sunday a new series. And I changed the title a little bit. I think we're about there. It's just two words. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Talking about the Lord your God. And if you weren't here with us last week, I believe the first message is an important part of this. So that's available online at no charge. Recommend you get that because we're building now today off of that. But in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is connected to hope. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Hope, you could say, is not yet. And the other part is not seen. Not yet, not seen. Now, when I say not yet, I mean in this realm. And not seen is the same thing, in this realm. Which is why you need to walk by faith, not by sight. If you walk by sight, you won't be in faith. Because you won't be looking at the not seen, you'll be looking at the seen. Right? You won't be looking at the not yet, you'll be looking at the whatever it is now. And so The Young's literal translation reads like this, and I like it. I think it's very accurate. It says, faith is of things hoped for, a confidence of matters not seen, a conviction. And so two words that describe faith, and when I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about faith in God.
Yes.
Is confidence and conviction. Do you have confidence in God?
Yes.
And are you, to conviction is a form of the word convinced.
Yes.
Are you convinced about God?
Amen.
Are you persuaded? If you're not, then you're not in faith. Now skip down to the sixth verse. Verse six. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. This is a really big statement. It's exceedingly rare to see the word impossible and God in the same sentence. About the only other time is where it says it's impossible for God to lie. But then you see that nothing is impossible with God. But here is, you know, you got to take everything together, rightly divide the word. It is impossible for you or I to do a thing that's acceptable to Him and pleasing to Him unless there is faith involved. What is faith? It's confidence and it's being convinced. It's being confident in, being convinced of what you don't yet see. So this lets you know already, faith is going to involve situations you don't understand. Because if you don't see it, and it hasn't developed or manifested yet. There's got to be elements of that you don't fully comprehend. But you don't have to understand to trust.
Come on.
Oh, y'all with me or not? You don't have to understand to trust. And in fact, the biggest tests of your and my faith will be when we don't understand. And there will be times. And sometimes, you know, you don't understand, but it's not that big of a deal to you. Didn't matter that much to you. And so you go, oh well. But there are other times it matters greatly to you. And you were really wanting it to go a certain way, or feeling like you needed it to go a certain way. And it's not going that way. Or at least not yet. Well, in that situation, your faith will be tried. Your faith will be tested. And like we mentioned last week, as you sit here today, across the world, there are many, many, many thousands, scores of thousands, and probably a whole lot more than that, of Christians who are mad at God. Upset with God. In all different levels of it. And a whole bunch of folks. I mean, Phyllis and I, we've had churches and been pastoring long enough now. What's it pushing? 25 years now. With these two churches. We've seen people that were so excited and so on fire and so hooked for years. Get so disillusioned. And upset and bitter and quit church, tried to talk to them. They wouldn't talk. They quit, not like they went into another church and served better somewhere else, just quit God. And in a lot of ways, these were good people, nice people. They're our friends and part of our church family, and it just, you know, it hurts your heart. And again, you see as the years go by, it does not go well for them. I said it does not go well for them. Finances destroyed. Marriages destroyed. Health lost. Die young. We have seen it too many times. Well, what happened? It got to a point where they didn't understand, and so they didn't trust God anymore. Yeah. And the question is, did they ever? Are y'all okay?
Yes. Yes.
Without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
Now, I want you to know, the Lord pointed this out to me. Isn't it amazing? I've been preaching on this verse for, I don't know, 45 years. And he pointed something out to me. I thought, well, look at that. That's been in there the whole time. He said, Keith, did you notice? Not it.
Right.
Him. I thought, I see it, Lord. I see it. It's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that what?
He is.
Not just that the scripture is true. Or that faith principles work. This is not believing in it. This is believing in
him.
You see where I got my title? Must means it's not optional. If you come to God and you commune with God and you get results with God, You'll have to do these two things he mentions here. If you don't do it, you won't get results. What? Number one, you must believe that he is. See, that's reminiscent of the one that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. I am. Or you could say, I is. Huh? I am that. I am. What does that mean? He is Jehovah. He is the self-existent one. He has no beginning and no end. Now, this boggles our mind. That thought causes our mind to go, huh? Because everything we've had any experience with, we can see where it started. And look towards an end. No. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he is God. You've got to believe that he exists. And that he is the Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. And that he has all the knowledge, all the understanding, all the wisdom, and all the power. You've got to believe that. You must believe that. Did you hear our two words? You've got to be persuaded of that. You've got to be confident of that and convinced of that. If you don't have that, you're not even starting with God. You got to have that. That's your foundational faith. As I've gotten into this, because what we're going to look at more and more are the judgments of God and him being the righteous judge of all. And it is a tremendous thing to look at. It is. It all stops with him. He has the final say. What qualifies him to be this and to do this? I mentioned to you that we're going to take a look at the book of Job. Because there is so much there that has been ignored.
Yes.
Just to kind of give you a little idea of where we're headed, Job missed it badly by judging God unfair.
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
That's what he had to repent over. He accused God of being unfair. And he had some pretty strong words to say about it. And he never imagined what was going to happen. At one point, and you got to cut, from my perspective, you got to cut Job some slack. He's having a rough year, man. I mean, he's going through some stuff. But at one point he said, I wish God would give me an audience. Huh? Wish he'd meet me and let me talk to him. And I got some questions for him. And he won't do it, but if he would, I would. And over about, what, chapter 38 or so? God shows up personally in a whirlwind. And he feeds Job's words back to him. And he said, okay, gird your loins up like a man. I got some questions for you.
Yes.
Woo!
Backfire.
But the reason I bring it up now, do you know what God talked to him for three, four chapters there for about? He didn't try to explain to Job his judgments. at all. Or why he made the judgments that he made. He asked Job, did he understand how the earth was made? You might say, what's one got to do? Everything. Everything. God's saying, well, let's don't start off with algebra. Let's start off with addition. Do you understand? And every question he asked him, Job, he's going, I don't know. I wasn't there. I hadn't been born yet. No. I always wondered about that. Yeah. No. What's all that about? God's telling him, you're not qualified to judge me and accuse me of being unfair. Now, why am I talking about this? I just mentioned earlier there are a large number of people who are mad at God. Huh? So where are they? Same thing we've been talking about. They think God is unfair. They think God let them down. If you believe that, you have chosen to believe lies from the devil, God's enemy, that he's lying about God to you. And you've chosen to believe them, which shows you aren't committed to him. Because if you really love somebody, you really believe in somebody, you don't believe the first lie that somebody comes by and tells about them. Huh? You do not. And if you really love somebody, you really believe in somebody, you're really committed to them, you won't change. No matter how rough it gets, no matter how much you don't understand, you will say, well, I don't understand it, but I know this. God's a good God. And he's right. And he's just. And he's fair. Can you see why I'm talking about Hebrews 11:6? Look at it again. You must believe that what? Now see, don't rush past that. He is what? He's God. What has God done? He created the planet you live on. He created the air you breathe. This is something. Come on, y'all with me or not? He created the sun that shines on us. You see the light out there? That came from somewhere. Huh? 90 million miles away. Must be hot. Because it's pretty hot down here in Florida. Is that right? You wouldn't want to be 85 million miles. Huh? Whew. But if it was much further or much cooler, it'd never even get warm enough to grow a crop. Are you listening?
Yes.
Now see, much of the world doesn't believe God exists. They don't believe God made the planet. They don't believe God. So what do they believe? They believe unproven theories that are based on lies. Where did it come from? You know, where did our star come from? And the galaxy? Where did it come from? It just self-created. Really? Were you there? You see why God asked Job these questions? Were you there? You weren't there. You hadn't got a foggy clue. Faith is a choice.
Yes, sir.
I said it's a choice. In this lifetime, you and I will never, in our little short lifetime, understand how God made this planet. Amen. Or how he made the solar system or the galaxy or beyond. And that's what God goes through a number of things while he's talking to Job. He talks to him about rain. Talks to him about the ocean.
He does.
Huh?
He does.
Hallelujah. Then he talks to him about animals that he made.
Yes, he does.
Hmm? Animals are amazing. Huh? We're used to them. We've been around them for years, but somebody made them. What kind of being creates a whale? Huh? Or a little fuzzy puppy? Or a green parrot? Huh? What kind of being? He's amazing. I said he's amazing. What he knows, what he understands, what he sees, what he can do, it is astounding. Somebody say, he is.
He is.
Almighty God.
And
I trust him.
Amen.
You've got to do that, or you don't even get started. And then the second part. You got to go on to the second part, or you don't fulfill either. And what else must you believe? You must believe that he, God, the Creator, what kind of God he is. He's a rewarder. Hallelujah. A rewarder of those that diligently was added by the translators, but you could say sincerely, are just those that mean business in seeking him. Nobody, the Bible said, ever trusted in him and was made ashamed.
Right.
Nobody ever trusted in him and was disappointed. Now, people have trusted in stuff they came up with and things they shouldn't have tried to trust in. But nobody ever genuinely trusted in God and to the end of it came up, well, you know, it didn't do me any good to trust God. That has never happened. And it never will. Huh? Are you persuaded of that? Come on, help me out. Are you persuaded that God is a good? Oh, come on, somebody help me out. God is a good? He's a good God. He's a father.
Yes.
He's a father.
Yes, he is.
He's the best father there's ever been.
Yes,
he loves you.
Yes.
He cares about you.
Yes.
He likes seeing you enjoy good things. Huh? And to reward, it literally means to pay. Does it pay to seek God? Does it pay to serve God? Does it pay to put God first in your life and pray and tithe and give and be available and help the gospel get out? Does it pay? Come on, help me out. Does it pay to believe God and stand and resist evil? And does it pay? It pays. It pays. Now see, the devil has some of the people that are mad at God. He convinced them it did you no good. It didn't pay. Oh, you prayed, you worked hard in church, you were there all the time, you gave in the offering, and look, when you needed help, where was God? So, those lies came from the enemy. But they decided to believe them. This is why you and I are not in the Garden of Eden today. This very same thing. The devil came. He lied to Eve. And he said, you won't really die. And her and Adam didn't trust God enough to stay with what he told them and believed the lying devil instead of the God who made them and gave them breath and had never done anything except love them and bless them. Now that's stupid. But that pretty much describes all human beings. Sense. But can we learn a lesson? Can we wake up? Can we quit believing such lies against our good God? Said out loud, I believe in God. I trust the Almighty God.
I trust
that He is good
and fair.
And it pays to serve Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation if you would. Boy, at this rate, it's going to take a while to get through my 50 pages of notes. But can you come back? Can you come back? All right. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Having said that, what's going on with people when, you know, they're, like people say, they're struggling to say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? To even ask that question shows you believe a lie. You say, what? Yeah. What would it matter whether they're a good person or not? See, if you think that makes all the difference, then you think God's a respecter of persons. Did you hear that? And you're believing wrong. You're thinking wrong. You got to back up and say, why are bad things happening on the planet, period? And the Bible tells you. The Bible tells you that we have an enemy. God has an enemy. And here the scripture says, talks about him in Revelation 12. It said the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Old because he's been around a long, long time, predating human beings. And so he has deceived human beings since human beings were created for all these thousands of years. And notice what he said, which does what? Deceived the whole world. Jesus said in John 8 that the devil fathered lying. Lying didn't exist until the devil came up with it. He used the wisdom and ability God gave him for good and twisted it and perverted it into something bad. And there is no redemption for him. He's coming to an end. But he's still quite active today. It says, that old serpent called the devil. Now the word devil means accuser. Accuser or slanderer. And this will tell you something right off the bat. Why is that a big deal? What does accusing and slandering, how do you do that? Words. Words are so much more important than most people have begun to believe. Words. The devil knows it. He knows how powerful words can be, either for good or for evil. And so he spends all of his time formulating attacks of words. Somebody say words.
Words.
Accusations are words. Slander is words. And devil means, the very word means accuser, slanderer. And he's also called Satan. I'm reading the scripture, Revelation 12:9. That word means adversary, enemy. It means the one who is against you. You have an enemy. Like I said last Sunday, there's a lot of churches you go to. You can go there for 10 years and never hear anything about the devil. It's like he doesn't exist. But that's not the Bible. Jesus talked about him. Right? Paul talked about him. Peter talked about him. Do we need to know that we have an enemy arrayed against us? The Bible tells us we need to be on our watch. We need to be aware. And we are to resist and not give place. This hasn't been known or practiced nearly enough. This, the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. John saw that. And he actually saw the whole thing complete. He saw the great white throne judgment. He saw the new Jerusalem and the heavenly city. He saw the whole thing finish. Everything you read in Revelation hasn't happened yet. Much of it is yet to happen. But verse 10. He said, I heard a loud voice in heaven when that happened. And said, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the what?
Accuser
of our brethren is cast down, which did what? Accused them before our God day and night. Now let's stop right here. Is this true or not? Huh? Does this sound exactly like what happened as described in the book of Job? Exactly. And for some reason, people have imagined, well, that's all changed. That's not happening anymore. This said it was happening all the time. Right up until the end. That the devil was doing what? Accusing. And the loud voice that came from heaven, the angels and the people in heaven were talking about their brethren that had come from the earth, talking about us. Accused them, it's talking about us, accused us. Before our God. Can the devil come before God? You read that in the book of Job, that he did. People say, well, I don't believe all that. You don't believe the Bible? And he did it how often?
Day and night.
Every morning and
every day. Day and night? Day and night? Why? Why does the devil do this? Why? Not for no reason. Why did he do it against Job? He sought judgment against Job so he could get access to Job to steal and kill and destroy. If you read what happened to Job, those three words exactly in that sequence.
Yes.
Stealing and killing and destroying. And that's what Jesus said to the enemy. He doesn't come unless he comes to do that.
Right.
To do what? Y'all going to help me preach this or not?
Yes.
Did I write this?
No.
You got to watch about religious tradition. And getting ideas in your mind that's not the Bible. Why would the devil do this? Accusing them. Just to be doing something? No, no. These beings have been around millennia before human beings. They're not stupid. They're not dumb. And why is he doing this? Well, what does he want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Look in 1 Peter. Hold your place there in Revelation 12. 1 Peter 5. I'm moving kind of slowly. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Huh? There are answers. Oh, hallelujah. There are answers here. Answers. 1 Peter 5. And 8. Is 1 Peter in the New Testament? What does he say? Be sober. And be vigilant. Because your
adversary.
There's that word. Adversary means enemy. You got an enemy?
Yes.
Somebody don't like you?
Yes.
Huh? Somebody hates you?
Yes.
Somebody wants to steal your stuff.
Yes.
Somebody wants to kill you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Would really enjoy murdering you.
Yes.
I know it's not a nice thought.
But it's the truth, though.
Somebody says, well, you know that thing with Job and the stealing, killing, and destroying. You think that's still happening? Is there stealing, killing, and destroying going on planet Earth?
Yes.
Hmm? Now here's the thing. Who's doing it? Who's doing it? And here's where so many millions have got so messed up. They say, well, God's in control. You believe a lie. You believe that God is the thief. You believe that God's killing people. And destroying people. It is so crystal clear in the book of Job. As soon as Job got judgment, excuse me, the devil got judgment against Job. It said he left. And the next thing you know, stealing.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Killing.
Yes.
And destroying.
Yes.
Who did it? Not God. Wasn't God doing it? It's as clear as could be. And when his body was attacked, the Bible said Satan went forth and smote Job with sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole. Who did it? Come on, who did it? If it's stealing and killing and destroying, it is not God. It is not God. It is not God. Now, if you want to believe it, you can believe lies. And that's how people wind up to where they're mad at God, because they blame him for all these evil things. No. The devil did it. He's the killer. He's the thief. He's the destroyer.
Hmm?
If you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the devil and human beings. Because that's why the earth is like it is. God made it the way he wanted it.
Yes.
With the Garden of Eden.
Yes, he did.
Huh?
It was beautiful.
perfect. And when everything is fixed, you read the back of the book, Revelation, there's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. There's no crying. There is no thievery, no murdering, no destroying. There's no hurricanes, no earthquakes, no tsunamis, no flooding. Come on now. There's no too hot. There's no too cold. If God's controlling it, that's how it is. So what's happening right now? The devil and deceived human beings. And I said, well, why don't God do something about it? He has. I said, He has. But, wow, this is big. This keeps getting growing on me. I want to ask you a question. God, the Bible tells us, is the righteous judge of all the earth.
Yes.
And of all mankind. Right. Numerous scriptures that talk about Him being that. In fact, just hold your place there and let me read some of these to you. They'll put them up on the screen. But let's see. Just a few to stir you up. Psalm 9:16, and you don't even have to turn to these. They'll put them up. Psalm 9:16. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executes. Psalm 11:7. Psalm 11:7. The righteous Lord loves righteousness. Now that's a King James word. If you take out the yus, it's just rightness. God is right. About what? Everything. And He's the only one you ever met that's right about everything. He loves what's right. And He loves what's just and fair. He loves judgment. And when I say, we hear that word, we think, ooh, we don't want judgment. Yeah, there's some judgment you do want.
Hmm?
The judge, if it's not a trial, a jury trial, and the judge decides, then the judge judges what? Guilty or not guilty. Huh? Innocent. Guilty means next comes punishment. Not guilty means go home and eat ice cream. Huh? Yay. So when you say judgment, you do want to be judged not guilty, innocent, free. You don't want to be judged guilty. Why does the enemy accuse night and day? Why? What's going on here? Accusations are, if you notice, redemption is actually a legal term. Adversary, advocate, righteous, condemned. Look at the words and you'll see it's all legal terminology. God being the judge, what is that? Legal. It's all legal terminology. And the Bible said that the righteous Lord loves righteousness. Psalm 56, let me read a couple more of these to you and then I'll keep going. Psalm 50 verse 6, the heavens shall declare His righteousness. Is he right, church? Come on, help me out, family. Are you persuaded of this?
Yes.
Are you convinced of this?
Yes.
Somebody say he's right.
He's right.
Whatever he did,
or didn't do,
his judgments
are right.
They're right. Will you always understand that?
No,
you won't. But will he be right? He'll be right. The heavens will declare his righteousness, for God is judge
himself.
And the thing about him, you can't appeal to a higher court. With him, that's it. That's it. Psalm 89:14, there's a bunch of these, but I'll just give you a couple more. Psalm 89:14, justice and judgment are the habitation of your throne. God, remember the Bible, we talk about this sometimes, the great white throne judgment. It stops with him. And he makes the final calls and judgment about everything, not just us, angels, the devil and his crowd, demons, evil spirits, all of that. He is the righteous judge of all the earth. It says, justice and judgment are the habitation of your throne. Mercy and truth shall go before your face. Now go to Romans, the third chapter, and then I'll show you where I'm endeavoring to get to. Romans 3. And verse 3. He said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Verse 4, which says, God forbid, we might say, no way. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. Now this comes from the Psalms. You is referring to God. That you might be justified in your sayings, and you might overcome when you are judged. When God is judged. Somebody says, well, no, that can't be right. Who's going to judge God? People are judging God every day. That's what happened in the book of Job. It's all about judgment. The enemy came and brought a case against Job. And if there had been no merit to it, God wouldn't have even heard it. But he heard it and he passed sentence. And so God judged Job. That allowed the devil access to attack Job and steal and kill and destroy. He'd been wanting to do it for years and years, but couldn't touch him. Then Job's three friends came, and his three friends judged Job. And so at this point, Job is feeling pretty judged. And he gets upset. And Job judges God. Oh, come on, y'all listening. He judges God unfair. He accuses God of not doing right and not being right. And God showed up and explained some things to Job, and Job repented. He repented, and God forgave Job and restored Job and gave. And of course, now when he did that, the protection, the hedge goes back up. Come on, can you see that? Or the devil would have came back immediately and done it again or kept doing it. The protection came back up. The blessing came back on him times two. Hallelujah. So, what is this about God being judged? Keep reading. That you may be, I'm going to read this in Young's literal translation, verse 4. That you may be declared righteous in your words and may overcome in your thy being judged. Why is this a deal? Skip down to verse 5. If our unrighteousness, God's righteousness, does establish, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who's inflicting the wrath or the judgment? Let it not be, since how shall God judge the world? Say it out loud, how shall God judge the world? What is this talking about? Let's go back to the first sin. Back to the garden. Did God love his man and his woman that he made? He had enjoyed direct personal fellowship with them maybe for a long time. We don't know how long this went on. Now, they did exactly what he told them not to do. They didn't trust him. Are y'all awake?
Yeah.
They didn't trust him. They believed the lying devil instead of trusting their God. So now, death has hit them. They're hiding in the bushes. Fear and terror is gripping them. They've never known fear before. And God comes and asks them, what did you do? He already knows. But did they repent? Did Adam and Eve repent? The Lord pointed this out to me yesterday. Hadn't thought about it. No, they didn't repent. They blamed. Is that right? They made excuses. And they blamed others. Why didn't God just say, I tell you what. You know what I'm going to say. Let's just forget about this. Is that right? And move on. Huh? Are y'all awake?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Why didn't he do that? Is that what love would do?
No.
See, people think love will let you buy with things. But God is love. And love chastens. Love corrects. Is that right? Can you see how the devil has convinced people of lies? All just, you know, let's just, anybody else around? No. You know. Why couldn't God do that? Help me out. I mean, the Bible specifically says, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. He said, why will you die? He said, repent and live. I'm quoting his words. Did God want to see them die? Did he want to see them fall and earn their bread by the sweat of their brow? Did he want to see Eve in pain and childbirth and all that stuff? Could he do something about it? Could he have just said, if he had said, yeah, just forget about it. Let's go on. He wouldn't be the righteous judge of all the earth. Do you know what would happen next? Huh? How shall God judge the world? How shall he judge the devil? And here, come on, can you see this? When it comes time to pronounce judgment over them, what would the devil say? What about your precious little man? Huh? You let them off. No punishment. No nothing. You're unjust. You play favorites. Oh, come on, can you see this? If a judge who's a father and has children and family, and his children come before him because of a accusation of a crime, if he lets them off and lets them go and then turns around and convicts and sentences punishment on stranger that did the same thing, he crooked. Can you see this? He's not fair. He's not right. If he is a right judge, a righteous judge, a fair judge, then even if he loves this person and it hurts his heart to do it, if they take the stand and they say, yeah, I did it, I did it, and they confess to guilt, and their guilt is proven, tell me what the judge has to do. Come on, help me out. They have to. They have to pass judgment guilty. Right? To do anything else is unrighteous, unjust, not right.
Yes, sir.
So this is why the devil is accusing day and night. He's trying to build cases against us to get judgment so he can get access. Is there a reason why the Bible told us don't give him any place? Don't give him any space, any opportunity. Don't give him. What's that talking about? Now go back to Revelation in closing. Revelation 12. Do you trust your God?
Yes.
Is he right?
Yes.
Yes. Will he do right?
Yes.
You know, that's the phrase that when the Lord came by and visited Abram, when Lot had moved to Sodom, and they were leaving, and so Abraham went with them for a while, and the Lord looked at him and he said, shall I hide from basically my covenant friend what's about to happen? And he told him that Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be judged. Well, Abraham's concerned about this because he's got kinfolks that live there.
Right?
So what does he begin to do? Plead a case. Oh, come on here, listen. That's what intercession is. We've made it a prayer thing. And it is prayer, but really it's legal terminology.
Yes.
And did you hear the phrase? He said, well, Lord, what if there's 50 good people? There was 50 righteous people there. Would the Lord destroy the righteous with the wicked?
Right.
Listen, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Now, are y'all awake? Because this is really significant. I want you to back up a little bit why did Abraham even have an opportunity to do this? The Lord brought it up to him. Oh, come on, can you see this? He's wanting. Don't you remember the Bible talked about? Sometimes it said the Lord said he looked for a man. He looked for somebody that would stand in the gap. Somebody that would come and plead a case with him. What's he wanting? He doesn't want to see judgment. He doesn't want to see destruction. But he's got to make the right judgment. And if nobody will ask for mercy, and nobody will repent, and nobody will stand up for what's right, he's got no choice. He's not the one doing the destroying. The enemy's ready to do that. But he is the one that passes judgment. Now, are you in Revelation? Get ready to shout. I said, get ready to shout. Because this is the best news you've heard all day right here. Revelation 12, 9, the great dragon was cast out. His time's coming. Boy, I ain't going to shed a tear for him either. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. He is the enemy. He is the accuser. He deceives the whole world. That's what's wrong with the world. Most of the world is in gross darkness, believing lies. He was cast out. His angels with him. Verse 10. I heard a voice, loud voice, saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. One of these days is coming that there will never again be somebody trying to build a case against us, trying to get to us and hurt us, and still it won't ever be again. We make it just a few more days with the greater one helping us. We won't have to deal with him again forever throughout eternity. Now, we're still dealing with him right now, but there's coming a time. He accused them before our God day and night. Now, he would not do this day and night unless it accomplished something he wants.
Right. That's
right. He doesn't do this just to be, when we hear the word slander or accusations, we think somebody's trying to cuss somebody out or yelling for it. No, this is not a nothing thing.
Come on.
This is trying to get to you.
Yes.
Get you judged. Somebody says, well, Brother Keith, that's not grace. That's New Testament. Have you read 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
What do you mean? If we would judge ourselves. Come on, y'all listening or not? We would not be judged. Huh? But if you won't, then you will be. What does that mean? Doesn't mean you're lost. It means you lost your case. It means the enemy can get to you. Which is why the Bible warns us, don't give him any opening. Don't give him my opening. Keep reading. He accused our brethren before God day and night. Verse 11. And they what?
Overcame.
And they what?
Overcame.
And they what?
Overcame.
Hallelujah.
They overcame him. They who? The ones he's accusing day and night. They overcame him by two things. Not one thing. Two things. What? The blood of the Lamb. The Bible said the blood on the mercy seat in heaven speaks. It speaks. The blood speaks. And it speaks better things than Abel's blood. Cain killed his brother Abel, and Abel's blood, God said he heard Abel's blood on the ground calling to him. What was it saying? I've been wronged. I've been murdered. You know, justice. Justice. But that's not what Jesus' blood says. Jesus' blood says paid for. Sins are paid for. Innocent. 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 If you're innocent, you're not guilty. If you're not guilty, you don't deserve any punishment. Which means the devil has no right. He has no right to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. And if that was all it was to it, it'd be so wonderful and we'd never have any trouble with the devil. That's not the end of the verse. I said, that's not the end of the verse. Someone said, well, that's all that matters is the blood. No, it's not all that matters. It is not all that matters. What else? What else? The word of what? Testimony is a legal term. I said it's a legal term. Testimony literally is evidence. Testimony is evidence. Hearsay testimony is not admissible. When we say testimony, we're talking about first hand, personal testimony. What should I testify to? Let me tell you what you don't do. Y'all awake? What you don't do is the devil come and say, you are a pitiful excuse for a Christian. Look at you. You have sinned. You have messed up so much. You deserve to be sick. You deserve to be broke. You do whatever happened to you, you deserve. You go, I know it. I'm such a pitiful excuse. I'm guilty. You're done. You are done. I don't care how much the Father loves you. You confess to it. You identify to it. You're done. Let me tell you what you say. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad it was, no matter how long it went that way, let me tell you what you say. You smile and you go, I'm clean. I'm innocent. How do you plead? Come on, help me out. How do you plead? How do you plead? You deserve all kind of trouble. No. I've been washed by the blood. I plead innocent. I deserve no punishment. None. No, I don't deserve any sickness. I don't deserve any poverty. I don't deserve any accidents. I don't deserve any confusion or depression. No, I don't deserve any. Why? Why? Innocent. Washed by the blood. I'm washed by the blood. Righteous. Clean. Innocent. Free. The word of your testimony. Friend, this matters more than we have ever realized. The rest of this week, watch your mouth. The enemy is continually trying to build a case against you. He'll catch anything that comes out of your mouth and try to use it against you. If you do see that you've said something that you shouldn't have and confessed, you know, guilt and all that kind of thing, stop and go, no, I reject that. I renounce that. That's not what I believe. This is my testimony. And you declare what the Lord told you to say. And you will overcome him. By the blood of the Lamb. And the word of your testimony. Stand up, everybody. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Come on, lift your hands. Lift your faith. Lift your praise. Let's take communion over this today and let it be sealed and let it be set. This represents the blood, represents the body. That makes us innocent. Said out loud, thank you, Father, for the blood. Thank you for the body. Thank you for the washing. I do have full confidence in you, in the blood, in the body, in redemption. Thank you for saving me. Praise God. Ushers, come. You can be seated. Keep your eyes open.